You're listening to the Back Home Network, presented by Home Field Apparel.
And welcome, Hoosier fans, to another exciting episode of the Grace Berger Show. I'm Jeff Morrow, along with our star of the show, Grace Berger, and we're here to recap the IU women's season since we last talked, and also to find out what Grace is doing in the offseason, and also to catch up on some of the more exciting news that's hit the IU women's program since the season's ended. So, Grace, I'll give you an opportunity to say hello to the fans.
Yeah, I just want to thank everyone for their support throughout the season. You know, obviously we didn't reach some of our goals, but it was still a really successful season, and we're just excited to build on it for next year, and I'm excited to talk about it with you.
And just kind of what have you done since the season ended? I'll kind of attack it from that standpoint. What have you been doing since the season ended?
Yeah, so we always get 2 full weeks off. So a lot of us that are, you know, live a little closer to Bloomington can kind of go home and just take a break from basketball, spend some time with our family, some much needed time. But you know, we've still been up here taking classes. A lot of people have been doing some optional workouts, a lot of conditioning. And then this past week, we just started getting back into doing conditioning and strength training as a team. And some of us are getting on the court as well. So it's definitely a lot more relaxed now that the season's over, but we're still working hard for sure.
So were you able to get a few days away from campus? As you had mentioned, you got two weeks off from basketball, but I know spring break was like during the NCAA tournament. So were you able to get a few days away from campus though?
Yeah. So I only have one in-person class a week, so it's kind of nice. So I was able to go home, just a 2-hour drive. So pretty quick and easy, and spend some time with my friends and family, and just take a little break.
That's cool. That's great. So you talked a little bit about kind of getting back into the conditioning. Is that more of a gradual buildup, or does the strength and conditioning coach kind of be like, okay, we're right back at it. You know, let's not lose anything that we had gained during the season.
No, I mean, you know, we probably can't be going as hard as we do during the season or even the summertime all year round. Our bodies might not be able to keep up with that. So it's definitely a little more relaxed right now. A lot of focus in the weight room, more so than conditioning. Mm-hmm. So we'll get into more conditioning and a little harder training in the summer and once we get back in June.
And for our fans who don't understand or don't know all the NCAA rules, are you limited to how many hours you can be in contact with, example, at the strength and conditioning coach or any of the coaching staff?
We are limited. I don't know if I can give you the exact time. I know it's 4 hours on the court during the summer, during the off season. So that's all we can do on the court.
4 hours a week?
Yeah. Yes. So strength and conditioning, you know, it's probably just like an hour, 3 times a week. So we're not doing too much right now.
But if you wanted to, you could get on your own. You could get into Cook Hall anytime, right?
Right. Yes.
Okay. I just want to make sure we kind of got that. And to me, that's one of the things that we've talked about a little bit off and on during the season. Now that the season's over, that's, you know, you've really talked about it a few times I've asked you that's really kind of where the improvement is. It's in the off season.
Yeah. I mean, 100%, you know, during the season, you're so focused on opponents and playing as a team, getting better as a team. So I think the off season, at least in our program, is a really good time to kind of get pushed individually, whether that be in the strength room or on the court, to get better at what you need to get better at as an individual. So then you're ready when November comes around.
All right. So we'll go back to the last 3 games. When last time we talked was right before the tournament, and mm-hmm. we were talking about the excitement of hosting. So was those 2 games in Bloomington everything you had hoped it would be?
It was. I mean, just seeing how many people were excited about women's basketball, you know, not even just our game, but just tournament in general, I think was really exciting. I think, you know, to see all those people, you know, more people than I've ever seen in Assembly Hall for a women's game. So, you know, as a senior, it was kind of, you know, coming full circle for me, kind of, you know, where the crowds were maybe early on in my career and some of the crowds we've seen to what we've built. And we hope that that continues into next season. And then the student section was unbelievable for us. I mean, they brought a lot of energy. I think they made it really hard on the teams we played, gave us a huge home court advantage. So, you know, like I said, it was great. And we hope that they, you know, want to keep coming back next year.
Yeah, definitely hope they keep coming back next year. I'm going to kind of skip ahead. You had, I hate to call I'll say you had a good win over Charlotte, mm-hmm. that double digit, you know, a very good double digit win over Charlotte. So I want to go to the Princeton game. And we had talked kind of beforehand, before the tournament there, and I had been on with some of the AC guys, assembly call guys, and I told them that I thought Princeton would be dangerous, that just don't assume Kentucky was going to win that game. So watching the Princeton-Kentucky game prior to playing them, what did you think of Princeton coming out of that game? Because I'm sure, I know you watched some of, I know you told me beforehand that you'd been watching some film about on the teams, but what did you think of Princeton when you saw them in person live?
I think, you know, they definitely don't get as much national attention as they deserve, just being in the Ivy League, a smaller league. So they don't get as much TV time, as much media attention and all that. So they're definitely a team that, you know, as we saw, is really easy to overlook. But once we, you know, got on the court with them, and even when I was watching them against Kentucky, I mean, that was a Power Five level, you know, Big Ten level opponent. Just as good as the teams we've played throughout the season. So we had a lot of respect for them going into the tournament, but especially after we saw them play Kentucky in person and just got to see how good they were, how well coached they were. We knew we had our hands full. And, you know, like I said, we just had a lot of respect for them going into the game.
And speaking of Princeton, watching that game a little bit, did you feel like, because what I saw was kind of a mirror image of your team? They really prided themselves on the defensive end. And so did you feel almost like a mirror image of what you saw every day in practice?
Yeah, I mean, you know, that definitely, you know, gives us an advantage because, like you said, we go against it every day in practice, that good of a defense. But they were definitely, I mean, one of the best defensive teams we played all year. Just really sound, made, you know, everything tough on us. We got nothing easy as a team. So, you know, credit to them. I mean, they're a really, really talented team.
And so go down to the end of that game, the ball gets put in your hands, I believe coming out of a timeout. I don't know. And I kind of want to kind of go through that play. If I remember correctly, you were tied coming mm-hmm. out of the timeout. And so just kind of what was the word from the coaching staff as they were in the huddle drawing up something, or was it more of a just, we're going to get the ball in Grace's hands and she's going to make a play?
No, I mean, we knew, especially against a defense that was as talented as Princeton's, that we'd have to draw something up. And that's a play that Coach Rhett, one of our assistants, has drawn up in practice before. So we've, you know, ran that same play or something like it many times in practice. That week prior and really the whole season, because we knew, you know, moments would come up like that. And it happened to, you know, be a 30-second game tied. So we had been through it, and we knew what to expect. Everybody got in their position, and we knew, you know, different reads that I would have. It's not necessarily me taking the shot, obviously. But luckily, you know, I saw a lane, I saw an opening. So I was able to get a pretty easy layup.
And just watching you this year and talking with you, from a coaching standpoint, you are one of those kids that just almost thrives in that position. Do you feel a comfortable level to know the ball's in your hands in a situation like that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's something that's come with, you know, me playing 4 years and just gaining my confidence slowly over the years. And then I think the main thing is just having coaches and teammates that believe in you and that want the ball in your hands. And so, you know, when you have that over there on the sideline and on the court with you, I think it makes it really easy to be confident in yourself to make the right decision in that moment.
The Grace Berger Show is presented by Farrell Wealth. Farrell Wealth was founded by former IU All-Big Ten defensive end Greg Farrell, who is now experiencing IU all over again as a parent with two girls who are juniors in the IU Media School, interns at the Cuban Center, and own their own business. And, you know, Greg learned trust and integrity while playing for legendary coach Bill Mallory, traits he's worked hard to instill in his girls. He also learned how to game plan. Farrell Wealth uses these principles to help high net worth individuals and business owners pursue financial success. Wealth planning is their passion, so you can live yours. Their fiduciary plans include investments, insurance, taxes, executive compensation, and charitable giving in this lifetime and beyond. Like any good team, the IU women's basketball team, for example, you need to plan and work the plan. Well, what is your plan? Contact Farrell Wealth through all socials at Farrell Wealth and their website, farrellwealth.com. That's F-A-R-R-A-L-L wealth.com. Farrell Wealth is a proud supporter of IU Athletics. Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisory firm, member FINRA SIPC.
After the game, you're talking about the crowd before. Several of you went up into the crowd and kind of high-fived with some of the students and some of the fans. That just, you know, to you, you know, was that just kind of spontaneous for the team to do that, or did somebody have the idea to go up in there?
I think we all just saw Mackenzie kind of take off. I think she got caught up in the moment a little bit, got really excited. She just sprinted over there, and then one by one, we just kind of followed her. And, you know, that was definitely a memory that we'll remember for a really long time. And it was just fun to get up there with them and just thank them for coming to our game, for sure.
Yeah, I apologize if you hear any noise in the background. We're recording this while I'm after school here, and it's been raining in Rensselaer all day, so we've got some indoor practices going on today. Mm-hmm. The track team is running the hall, so if anybody hears some noises, it's because of that. My apologies to Grace and to all of our listeners on the podcast. So then you go now, and we didn't talk a whole lot about this last time, but I looked ahead. I thought you guys had one of the toughest draws coming out of the tournament, because you were going to have to go to Bridgeport and play, if everything went according to the plan, you were going to play the number two seed UConn Huskies, and that's who you got. And in essence, really kind of a home game for them as well. So just kind of before the game, what was the mindset going in that week playing UConn?
First of all, you know, we knew that any draw that we got was going to get hard, especially when you get in that Sweet 16 game. There's really not an easy matchup. You know, every team is there for a reason. So, it was, you know, a lot of talk about not only playing UConn, but, you know, going to Connecticut to play them. Pretty much every fan there was for them and against us. We had a nice little section, but we felt like if we followed our game plan, we had the tools to compete with them and beat them. Obviously, we didn't have a very good showing. We didn't play very well that day, but we felt like obviously this year, and I think we proved it, that if we were clicking on all cylinders, we could compete and we could beat anybody. But obviously, it just wasn't our day. But I wouldn't blame that on the draw or playing in Connecticut or anything like that.
Yeah, I just was saying from the standpoint of just being a number three seed, there were other number two seeds that might have been a little better. And by the way, I thought you guys played a really good first half. It was just kind of that third quarter that got away from you. So, I mean, for the first 20 minutes, you were giving them everything they wanted. I mean, this is the team that goes to the national championship game eventually. And to me, that's the other thing I think you guys can look at is it took a team that went basically to the final game of the tournament to knock you out.
Yeah, I mean, the same thing happened last year with Arizona. So we're hoping that next year, you know, we're the one that's not going to team out and play in the national championship game.
And I know it may not seem much to you guys after the fact, but I just was really, I thought Coach Ariema had some nice things to say about the program and about the team and such. So I don't think UConn was overlooking you at all. Mm-hmm. I just thought they talked about how well, you know, for example, the one of the quotes I remember is it really felt like you guys as a team had a really high basketball IQ. And I thought that was the ultimate compliment you could give to any team.
Yeah, it definitely is. You know,
so now earlier in the year, we talked a little bit about what it was like after losing to Arizona last year. But this year now you lose to UConn and the season's over. What I know it was probably a sadness, but was it a little different knowing that you had some people moving on this year compared to last year, where you kind of had the idea of everybody was going to be back?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's a lot different than it was last year because, when we lost to Arizona, we knew we'd get another kind of chance at it the next year. And obviously, you know, this time was the last go around for The girls that I've played with for 3 or 4 years. So, you know, it definitely, I think, obviously, you know, it was sad losing the game, and that was hard, and we're very competitive. So that wasn't, you know, fun to lose a game ever, but it was more sad, I'd say, after the fact, to kind of see the disappointment in Allie's eyes and Alexa's and Nikki's, and just seeing that, you know, how badly they wanted to win and move on to the Final Four, and we weren't able to do that. So it was definitely, I would say, a little bit harder on the position we were in this year.
And, you know, that's one of the things that I think is always hard as a coach, to look at kids, players who are doing it going to put the uniform on for the last time, at least an IU jersey for the last time. Mm-hmm. So without maybe any secrets, anything that coach, if I ever get back into coaching, maybe I can learn something from Coach Moore in here. Is there anything that she says after a game like that, that you find that's at least somewhat comforting?
I mean, you know, just, I think she told us, you know, how proud she was of us, and we're going to have a lot of memories that we'll remember for a lifetime. But, you know, I mean, she was equally upset, I think, to see those, you know, four seniors kind of move on, that there was a last game, because we all thought we'd be playing, you know, well into the Final Four. So I think, you know, she was just as upset that they were moving on as all of us.
So, yeah, and I get that. I totally do. So I'll kind of go this route too. So speaking of Coach Moore, do you guys have, do you sit down with the coaching staff after the season like that? Like, you know, I'm not saying like the day after, but we used to call them exit interviews. Do you have anything like that where she pulls you guys in kind of maybe one at a time or in groups and say, especially for you who are coming back, and say, okay, now we got to start getting ready for next year, or maybe goes back over last year. Do you guys have any like interview type thing like that?
Yeah. We all have kind of an exit interview type thing, especially the people that return. We'll just go up and talk to her and a couple of our different coaches. And, you know, the main focus is really just where we can get better for next year. And we look back at how the year went and kind of talk through some things, and then just kind of really set up a game plan for how, as an individual, you can help the team in different and better ways than you might have been able to in the past year.
And so we talked a little bit in the first part about kind of the off season. Do you have, and I know you've been told me before, and I've read some articles here after the Big Ten tournament about some of your dribbling drills that you did when you were younger. Do you kind of have a set workout that you like to go to in the off season, or is that something that the coaches kind of come to you and go, hey, we need you to do this and this, or, you know, or as a combination of the two?
Well, we get 8 weeks during the summer where the coaches are working this out 4 or 5 times a week. So during that time, I'm pretty much just doing what, you know, our assistant coaches are telling me to do as they're putting me through workouts. But we also have a lot of, you know, free time where we're kind of free to go home or work out in Kakal by herself in May and in August. So at those times, I'm, you know, putting myself through the workouts I've been doing since I was, you know, pretty little. I still have the same routine. So definitely, I would say a combination of me doing the stuff I've always done and the coaches pushing me to do new stuff.
You had mentioned several times throughout the course of the season that Allie was kind of your go-to partner for Cook Hall. I honestly don't know, so this is why I'm asking. Are kids like Allie and Alexa and Nikki, who've used up their eligibility, are they allowed to come in and work out still?
Yeah, I mean, they had a really quick turnaround with the draft and everything like that. So they might have taken a couple of days off, and they're back in, you know, working on their games, doing conditioning, doing weightlifting, just like the season never ended. So, you know, they're still working out every day.
Yeah, I just wasn't sure about that, because like here in the state of Indiana with the high school rules the way they are, once you kind of graduated, it's harder to come in and do like workouts with the kids coming back and stuff. So I wasn't sure what that would do.
Support for the Grace Berger Show is brought to you by our friends at Home Field Apparel, where they have one of the most extensive collections of vintage IU apparel that you will find anywhere. And it's not just IU apparel. They have over 100 colleges and universities, and what they do is they go back into history and they pull out old vintage brand marks that haven't been used in a long time, but that still look really cool and that have this really great kind of nostalgic appeal, and they pull them into modern day, and they've created such a great niche because, you know, A, the actual material that their stuff is printed on, the shirts, the crew neck sweaters, the hoodies, it's really comfortable, it holds up when it's washed, and then the logos all look just so cool. It's just such a unique niche that they have. And you can go to homefieldapparel.com. Again, look through over 40 items of IU apparel. IU is their original school, and so that's what they have the most of. But you can also browse through all of their other colleges and universities as well. And when you're ready to purchase, if it's your first time there, use the promo code HOME, H-O-M-E. That will give you 15% off your first order. So again, it's homefieldapparel.com. Use the promo code HOME, H-O-M-E, for 15% off your first order. Now back to the show.
At this point, I'm not trying to give away anything or put pressure in there, but at this point, is there any off season, like summertime, like last year you played with USA basketball. Is there anything like that coming up for you, or is it still too early to know about some of those things?
As of now, no. So I'm just going to be in Bloomington in the summer with all of my teammates. And just really working on our games.
And you mentioned the WNBA. We mentioned the WNBA in the draft a little bit. And just for our fans who may not know the rules as well, they see, like, on the men's side, a kid will say, I'm going to put my name into the draft, but I'm going to retain my eligibility. And the NBA has that process where they'll give feedback to kids. Do you know, does the WNBA have anything like that to where you can get feedback to know whether or not you would, you know, where you might get drafted?
No, I mean, I wish they did, especially seeing the men's players kind of having the freedom to do that. It would be, you know, certainly nice to kind of hear what they're thinking just so you can know what to get better with. But Coach Morin and all of our coaches are pretty, you know, in the loop with all of that stuff. So, you know, they're really good about knowing that I do have aspirations to play professionally along with, you know, some of my teammates now and telling us kind of where we need to take our games to if we want to fulfill that goal.
So did you guys maybe get together and watch the draft? Or, I mean, knowing that Allie and Nikki and Alexa were in the draft, did you guys kind of get together to watch it?
A couple of us were with Allie and Alexa, and I think Nikki was kind of nervous, so just wanted to watch by herself, and that's how we kind of had to talk Alexa and Allie into letting us watch it with them, just because it is really nerve-wracking. I mean, it's nerve-wracking for us too, but it's definitely, you know, their future's on the line and you really have no idea. So it was an exciting night though, seeing Allie's name called, seeing Alexa get a training camp. So it was definitely an exciting night.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. It was going to be my follow-up. Was everybody pretty excited, but was there a lot of cheering and screaming and things like that when Allie's name got called?
Yeah, for sure. Because, you know, we had no idea. And I think it was just kind of during a commercial break, or commercial break had just ended. And then we just saw her name pop up on the bottom line. So, you know, that was the first time, obviously, I've ever been with someone and see their name get called. So it was unbelievable for me and for Allie, too, I hope.
Yeah, and it just was interesting that she was drafted by the Fever. So if she makes the team, she's like never left the state of Indiana to play basketball. So that kind of takes me back. And I didn't ask you much about this at the end of the season because you had so much going on. You guys had played so many games. But one of the big news items was when you announced that you were going to take your COVID year and come back. And as best you can, maybe explain to our fans what the process was like for you during that decision making to decide to come back for the COVID year.
I think it was always something that I knew I was, you know, probably going to do just because I love college basketball. Obviously, I love IU and playing for my coaches and with my teammates. So for me, you know, there's no real rush to kind of move on. The WNBA is still going to be there next year. Playing overseas is still going to be there next year. So I thought, you know, for one, playing for IU is a once in a lifetime opportunity, and it's something that, you know, I love to do. And two, I mean, I can come back a year and get better and hopefully, you know, not only get better as an individual, but hopefully win, you know, a Big Ten championship and make it to a Final Four. So, I mean, that was kind of my thought process. It's something that coming back to IU, I just knew, you know, ultimately that I couldn't pass up. And that's something that, you know, I really wanted to do.
Yeah. And I kind of go back to the draft real quick. And you mentioned Alexa getting signed to a training camp. As far as you know, has Nikki had any chances to sign or at least get invited to a camp yet?
Yeah, you know, you'd have to ask Nikki, but okay. Nikki, I mean, she'll have plenty of opportunities. You know, she's originally from Spain, so she's really, really, I think, excited about, you know, playing in a professional league over there. And I think she's going to have a lot of success. And so long term, I think that's what she really wants to do.
So kind of to finish, wrap up this last little segment here. Now let's kind of focus to next year, because unfortunately the 21-22 season's over. What do you think about the season? I know it's April the 13th, but what are you kind of thinking about the season with some of the news that's come out here over the past weekend with some of the kids that are coming in through the transfer portal?
Yeah, I mean,
and the kids who are coming back like yourself.
Right. We were already excited just with the core that we had, you know, coming back. And then the freshmen that are coming in, you know, I've seen a lot of them play on video and heard great things about them. So we knew that they were really talented and going to add a lot to our team next year. But then just to have the transfers that we did to fill some big holes, get some experience and a lot of talent, you know, whether that be at the wing spot, point guard spot, and obviously we got, you know, a really good post player too. So we just filled all the holes that we needed. And so now we feel like we're a really complete team with a lot of depth. And it's just going to be, you know, really exciting to see how it all plays out.
Just a quick question. I know you've never been in the transfer portal, and we don't want you ever to be in the transfer portal, but is it the recruiting on that? Is that just, I mean, is it almost like lightning quick? I mean, do they even get a chance to come to campus and meet you guys, or is it just such a quick, you know, because it just seems it's such a quick process compared to the 2-3 years you spend in high school getting recruited?
Yeah, a lot of them will come visit, and then a lot of people do end up committing, I think, without visiting. But obviously, they're still on phone calls with the players and the staff and really getting to know us and what we're all about and what our culture is here. But, you know, really, when you've been in college for 2-3, sometimes 4 years, you kind of know what you want. So I don't think there's as much of a need as there is for someone in high school, because you should have, you know, a list of things that maybe you didn't like at your previous stop. You kind of know how college works because you've lived it. And I think that makes the decision a little easier.
And I don't want to get anybody in trouble, so I'll try not to mention names or anything, but one of your transfers is a student, young player from Minnesota. Will that be, I mean, will that seem a little weird to be suiting up with somebody that you played against for 2 or 3 years?
Yeah, I mean, I think, it is a little weird. You know, when she came and put on the Indiana uniform, we were all kind of like, this is a little weird. She thought it was a little weird initially, but then we realized that she looked really good in it, and yes, we wanted her to be a Hoosier. So, I don't think it'll be weird for us. But I think, you know, maybe it'll be a little more weird for her when we do play, Minnesota. I think that's definitely weird. You know, we're really excited to get her. She's a great girl and obviously a great player. So I'm just thrilled that I get to be your teammate.
So with the freshmen, the incoming freshmen and the transfers, when's the first time they can kind of actually start working out? I mean, I guess summer school, when would be kind of the first day of summer school?
The transfers will be here the beginning of June, and then the freshmen usually get here about 2 weeks later than that. So they get 6 weeks during the summer, and all the returners and the transfers will get 8 weeks together. So, so that's how that works. We'll all be together in the summer.
Okay. Yeah. I just wasn't sure when that, you know, kind of the summer when the official summer began for the NCAA. So, last but not least, just want to give you a chance to say anything about the season and the experience you've had here. We are going to do one more episode of the Grace Berger Show. We have 12 episodes. Our next one, it will be kind of an Ask Me Anything episode. So for our listeners who want to shoot questions to us, you can go to the assemblycall.com community and pick up questions there. But we are going to do one more Ask Me Anything type episode with Grace as well. And who knows what kind of news may happen in the next couple of weeks with the IU Women's Program. But Grace, I want to give you an opportunity just to, you know, finish out the episode here by saying anything that you about the season, about the team, anything that you would like to say.
Yeah, I mean, I think just looking back on the season, there were a lot of really great moments, a lot of good wins, you know, seeing all those fans as we hosted an assembly hall for the first time ever, like we talked about a little bit earlier. So I just, you know, want to thank everyone for their support, because it means the world to us. And whether we win or lose, I think, you know, I know myself and my teammates were all really grateful to represent a place like IU and represent the fans in Indiana, and just a state that, in a community that means so much to us. So we're all really excited to be Hoosiers. I know I'm excited to be a Hoosier again next year. And so I just want to, you know, encourage everyone to stick with us. And it's going to be a really, you know, a different team, but a really exciting team again next year.
Yeah, I think you really hit a great point there. I think the team is going to be a very exciting team to watch next year, and we look forward to it. So I'll end the episode here tonight. And for Grace Berger, I'm Jeff Marlowe. You've been watching and listening to the Grace Berger Show on the Assembly Call and the Back Home Network. Until we talk next time, go Hoosiers.